one and two, of course. Thank Mrs. Sales, Mrs. Weinreb, for inviting me to share some thoughts with you at this very, very special event within the community. The time of the Bris Ben Habsarim, all the way back in Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem informed Avram Avinu, Ki gir yezarecha be'eretz lo lahem, that your children will be, descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, va'avadum ve'inu osam arba me'o shana, and they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. Why did it specifically have to be 400 years? So the Megala Amukos of Nasanota Shapiro, the 17th century Mukubo from the town of Krakow, explains that it's because there are 400 aspects of evil that exist within the world. As the Pasuk tells us in Parashas Vayishlach, as Yaakov Avinu is preparing for his encounter with Esav, Esav is accompanied by Arba Meos Ish Imoy, by 400 men. Those 400 men correspond to the 400 Karchos of Tuma, aspects of evil that exist within the world. And perhaps it's for this reason as well that Avram Avinu in Parshas Vayesara has to purchase Maris HaMachpelah for the price of Arba Meos Shekel Kesef, 400 silver coins. Why is that the price? So the Ashrafzer Rebbe explains, because there are 9 people buried in Maris HaMachpelah. Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah, and Esav. 9 people. 8 of those 9 are tzaddikim. And the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Brachos, tzaddikim afilu b'misasam kriyim chayim. Tzaddikim, even after they've passed away, are considered to be alive, because their legacy lives on after them. So says the Ashrafzer Rebbe, 8 of those 9 people did not need to be buried at all. They were still alive. It was only Esav, who's a Rasha. The Gemara tells us, Rishayim afilu b'chayayim kuyim mesim. Even when they're alive, it's as if they're dead. So Esav needed to be buried. He was the only one. And therefore the price was Arba Meos Shekel Kesef, 400 silver coins, because Esav was accompanied by 400 men representing the 400 Karchos of Tuma, aspects of evil that exist in the world. And therefore the price was 400 Shekel Kesef to bury Esav, who represented these 400 Karchos of Tuma, aspects of evil. However, at the same time, Yaakov Avinu is known as the Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Aholim. He sits in the tents and learns. And the Pasuk describes Yaakov Avinu as possessing the kol, hakol, kol Yaakov, a voice. And Chazal tell us that is the voice of Talmud Torah. Because there are 400 aspects of good, aspects of Kedusha within the world. And they can be accessed, they can be acquired through learning Torah. That's why the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Erevin that there was a dedicated Rebbe named Rav Preda, who taught one Talmud, a slow grasp, he taught him the same topic 400 times. Why specifically 400 times? Because it is through learning a topic of Torah 400 times that one could uncover, one could reveal all 400 aspects of Kedusha, 400 aspects of good that exist within the world that can be cultivated by learning one topic of Torah 400 times. The Chasam Sofer even continues, what do we refer to the Gemara as? The part of the Gemara that was composed in Bavel, we refer to as Talmud Bavli. The part of the Gemara that was composed in Eretz Yisrael, we refer to as the Talmud Yushalmi. What is Talmud? So the Chasam Sofer claims that the word Talmud, Tav, Lamed, Mem, Vav, Dalet, is really a combination of two words. Of Tav, which is Gematria 400, Limod means to learn. You should learn it 400 times in order, every topic of Torah, in order to glean, to uncover, to claim, to acquire each one of these 400 aspects of Kedusha, the 400 aspects of good that exist within the world. Continues the Megala Mukas, that the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Tainis, Egypt, Mitzrayim, was how big? 400 parsa by 400 parsa. Parsa is a measurement of distance. So the Gemara says Mitzrayim was 400 parsa by 400 parsa, 400 lengths by 400 lengths. And he explains that it's because Egypt, Mitzrayim, was saturated with these 400 aspects of evil, of tumah, that exist in the world. But at the same time, the Gemara tells us in Megillah, Eretz Yisrael was how big? Also, 400 parsa by 400 parsa, 400 lengths by 400 lengths. Because Eretz Yisrael is also saturated, not with karchos of tumah and evil, but with the karchos of kedusha, of good, that exist in the world. And says the Megala Mukos, that in order for us to claim to be worthy of Eretz Yisrael, which is 400 lengths by 400 lengths, saturated by the 400 aspects of kedusha, of good in the world, we had to overcome, to subdue Mitzrayim, which is saturated with the 400 aspects of tumah, of evil that exists within the world. And that's not surprising that that took how long? How long did we have to be in Mitzrayim to subdue it? 400 years. That's why it had to be 400. However, Chazal make a calculation that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu we would be there 400 years, from the time that Yaakov descended in Parshas Vayigash and Parshas Vayechi, and until we came out, was really not 400 years. It was only how long? It was only 210. We came out 190 years early. Mishnayim claim, the commentary on the Haggadah, that that's why we say in the Haggadah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Chishev es Haketz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a calculation of the time of the Geula, because he adjusted the calculation. It was supposed to have been 400 in the end, it was only 210. Chishev es Haketz, he took us out how early? Ketz, Kuf, and Sadi, that's 190 years, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out 190 years early. So one opinion in the Medrash is that why did we come out 190 years early? Because the Egyptians worked us with such intensity that all 400 years became compressed, condensed, concentrated within 210 years. Once we had 210 years, it's as if we had all 400. The Gra claims that this is alluded to in the Pasuk in Parashat Shmos, where the Pasuk tells us, Vayimareru es chayehem b'avodah kasha. They made their lives bitter with the difficult labor. However, the trup, the tune on those words is, Vayimareru es chayehem. I apologize for my bad voice, but that's what it is. It's not one of my callings in life, right? But that trup, that tune, Vayimareru es chayehem, is known as a kadma v'azla, come and go. So the Gra says, because Vayimareru es chayehem, they made their lives so difficult, kadma, they came, v'azla, and they left early. They came and left. How early did we leave? 190 years. The gematria, kadma, v'azla, is exactly 190. We left 190 years early because they made it so difficult for us. That's one opinion in the Medrash. However, Rashi in this week's Parashah and Parashas Bo quotes from another opinion in the Medrash that in fact we did not leave early at all. We didn't leave early. We stayed for all 400 years. But when should the 400 years, when should the counting begin? It should begin from the birth of Yitzchak, which was 30 years after the Bris Bein HaBesarim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first informed Avraham Avinu, Ki geri yezarecha be'eretz lo lahem, there'll be strangers in a foreign land, your descendants. So that Yitzchak was born 30 years later, that's when the count of the 400 years began. However, why should we begin counting the 400 years of Galus Mitzrayim from the birth of Yitzchak, when they were still residing in Eretz Yisrael? They were still living in Eretz Yisrael. It was in the house of Avraham Avinu. No one was being worked. No one was being enslaved or oppressed. Why should we begin counting 400 years from the birth of Yitzchak? And I believe that the answer is, because oftentimes, a person is, let's say, going on a vacation, or he's looking forward to a great simcha, a milestone in his life. So the best part of it is you sometimes the anticipation, looking forward to it, the planning, the excitement that exists beforehand. I always feel if we're going to take our kids away on a vacation, it would be best to go away on vacation without the kids, but if we're going to take the kids on the way, we should tell them beforehand. Why? Because if we're going to take them away a week, 10 days, so the vacation is 10 days, and fire, then it's over. But if you tell them 6 months in advance, 2 months in advance, then the whole thing takes 2 months. We're talking about it forever. So the vacation got expanded from a week to 2 months because we're talking about it for such a long time. However, by the same token, if a person has a difficulty in his life, le'aleinu, he has an obstacle that he has to overcome. So sometimes the most difficult aspect of that is not the event itself, but it's the anxiety, the anticipation that exists beforehand. That dread is sometimes even worse than the event itself. And therefore, even already from the time that Yitzhak was born, since they knew that there would be a galus, so already from the time that Yitzhak was born, they were dreading it. It was looming. It was lurking, you know, hanging like a dark cloud over them. Now, in the summertime, summer doesn't really begin, everyone always says, till after Tisha B'Av. Before Tisha B'Av, there's always, you know, Tisha B'Av looming and lurking in the background. They can't really enjoy anything because Tisha B'Av is coming. So too, at the time that already Yitzhak was born, the Galus Mitzrayim, which had been promised by the Ribbono Shel Olam, Ki Yiger Yezarecha Be'eretz Lo Lahem, was already lurking over them, looming in the background. And therefore, it's as if, even though they were still living in Eretz Yisrael, it's as if the Galus Mitzrayim had already begun. However, at that moment that the Ribbono Shel Olam informed Avram and Yitzchak, Ki Yiger Yezarecha Be'eretz Lo Lahem, he promised them one other thing, and that is Va'achareichein Yetzu Berachush Gadol, that ultimately there would be a Geula. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to promise them that, you know, at that moment? Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu have just brought the Geula at the end? Or similarly, you can ask a similar question. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to send a Malach to inform Avram and Sarah that they would have a child? If he wants to bless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bless Avram and Sarah with a child, bless them with a child. Why does a Malach have to come and inform Avram and Sarah, you're going to have a child, and then they have a child? Just bless them with a child. That'll be the end. Why do you have to send a Malach to inform them? And again, I believe that the answer is, because in order to make it through the difficult times in our life, sometimes the darkest periods of our life, to make it through a Galus Mitzrayim, or a couple, let's say, suffering through infertility, to make it through, what gets them through that dark period is the fact that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. The fact that there is a glimmer of hope, that they know that there is a Geula that's coming, that's what enables them to overcome those difficulties that they're encountering. That's what enabled us to get through the 400 years of Galus Mitzrayim, was that glimmer of hope and knowledge that ultimately there would be a Geula. In Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov Avinu first comes down to Mitzrayim, and he realizes that he's coming to the end of his life, he summons his children together, Hey Asfu, Va'agida Lachem, Eis Asher Yikra Eschem, Ba'acharis Hayyavim. He says, I want to tell you what's going to be in the end of days. Why is Yaakov Avinu so intent on foreshadowing to his children, each one, according to their own personality, what's going to be Ba'acharis Hayyavim? Why does he have to inform them about this? And the Kashmita Magid explains in the Sefer Avodas Yisrael that it's because they had now entered into the Galus itself. They were living in Mitzrayim. And Yaakov Avinu knew that the only way they would be able to endure this period of darkness, this difficulty in their life, the period of the exile, is if they would know that there's ultimately going to be an Acharis Hayyamim. There's a glimmer of hope. Ultimately, there will be a Geula. Because without that, we can't make it through. The Pasuk tells us in Parashas Maaseh that when Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe Rabbeinu, when they enter into Eretz Yisrael, to establish six cities of refuge, which is where a murderer would be sent to exile. Someone kills someone else by accident, inadvertently. You send them into exile to one of these six cities of refuge. Three were on the Eiver HaYarden, the other side of the Yarden. Three in the mainland of Eretz Yisrael. However, the Gemara says in Maseches Makos that the three that were Me'ever LeYarden, which is where they came to first, should not begin to function, we shouldn't send anybody there, until we establish the other three on the other side of the Yarden. The Mefarshim asks, why? Why can't we do it in stages? We have the first three in the Eber B'Yarden, then the next three in the mainland of Eretz Yisrael. Why does it have to be all six at once? So the Meshech Chochma writes in his comments on Parashas Maaseh something fantastic. He says that it's because the murderer had to stay in this city of exile till what? When was he able to leave? The Kohen Gadol died. However, who was the Kohen Gadol at the time that they were conquering and settling and dividing Eretz Yisrael? Was Elazar HaKohen, the son of Aaron HaKohen. And he was integral to the process of dividing and the conquering Eretz Yisrael. They needed a Kohen Gadol. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says, promise Elazar HaKohen, you will not die throughout all 14 years that they were conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael. Says the Meshech Chochma, if there was a guarantee that the Kohen Gadol could not pass away, that would mean someone who sent it to exile has no chance of coming out. Because the only way out is if the Kohen Gadol passes away. Says the Meshech Chochma, we could not send someone into exile, even if he's a murderer, without any hope, without any possibility of liberation, of redemption. Because there's no way he'll make it. Without a glimmer of hope, without the light at the end of the tunnel, the knowledge that things will improve, that things will get better, there's no way we can make it. There's no way we can get through dark periods of our life, certainly a period of galus. In last week's parsha, the Torah mentions the four expressions of geula that we have. Ha'hitzesi, v'hitzalti, v'go'alti, v'lokachti. And Rashi writes in the Gemara Masechta Pesachim, the name of the Talmud Yushalmi, that the four kaisas we drink at the Leil HaSeder correspond to these four expressions of geula. And according to Rashi, you cannot drink additional kaisas. You can't have more than four. Why not? I'm not saying anybody here would like to, but you cannot have more than four. Why? You might become drunk. Or you want the flavor of the matzah to linger in your mouth. And if you have more wine, it will dilute the flavor of the matzah. However, many other Rishonim, the Rambam, the Rosh, the Rif, had a different version of the Gemara that how many kaisas are there? Five. And the Ravid identifies a fifth expression of Geula, Ve'heveisi Eschem El Ha'aretz, a Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring us to Eretz Yisrael. So we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, how many cups of wine do we have at the Leil HaSeder? Only four. However, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Minig to pour a fifth kais, but we don't drink it. And we refer to it as the kais shel Eliyahu. Why do we call it the kais shel Eliyahu? We open the door, we sing Eliyahu HaNavi, why? So the Gra explains that it's because we pour a fifth kais, many Rishonim held, we should have five. So in accordance with many, you know, Rishonim, we pour a fifth. But Rashi held, there's only four. So we don't drink it out of deference to Rashi. Who can possibly decide such a weighty machlekes harishayim? Only when the Mashiach will come, Eliyahu will adjudicate all matters of halacha. So we leave this kais here, the kais of Eliyahu, to a time when Eliyahu will come, and he will decide, he will be machriya. Do we paskin there's five kaises and we drink it? Do we paskin that there's only four and we'll put it away? So we call it the kais of Eliyahu. Eliyahu come and tell us what to do. However, perhaps the reason why we call it the Kais shel Eliyahu is for a different reason. And that is because this fifth expression of Geula, Ve'heveisi Eschem El Ha'aretz, does not refer to Klal Yisrael's arrival in Eretz Yisrael on our way out of Mitzrayim. It rather refers to our arrival in Eretz Yisrael in a permanent fashion at the time of the coming of Mashiach, which will be announced by who? By Eliyahu HaNavi. And that's why we don't drink the Kais, because we haven't gotten there yet. And even though we have confidence that the Geula will come, ultimately Mashiach will come, we cannot celebrate it. It actually happens. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Va'ani b'chazdecha v'tachti, yogeli bi b'shuasecha, I rejoice, I am confident in the Geula, but ashira la Hashem ki gamal alai. I can only sing about it. I can only celebrate it once it's actually happened. You can't do it beforehand. However, even though we don't drink the kais, what do? We pour the kais. And why do we pour the kais? Because we demonstrate that we believe in the geula. And that's critical. Because without that unyielding belief in the fact that Mashiach will come, we have no chance of making it through a dark and difficult galus, through the dark periods in our own personal life, unless we pour the kais. We demonstrate that we recognize, we affirm our belief and confidence in the fact that ultimately the Geula will come. Even though we don't drink the Kais, we certainly have to pour the Kais, because without that, we can't make it through. The Pasuk tells us in this week's Parsha that one is not allowed, it's a halacha by the Karban Pesach, you're not allowed to break one of the bones of the Karban Pesach. The etzem rosish berubo. And if you do break it, person is chayiv kares. Why is one not allowed to break the bones? So the Sefer HaChinuch gives a compelling reason. Is because who breaks the bones to eat from the marrow of the bones is a slave, a poor man. So he would break the bones, eat the marrow, and that's probably what we did in Mitzrayim. So now that we're redeemed from Mitzrayim, we no longer want to break the bones and eat the marrow to demonstrate that we are now liberated. We don't break the bones and eat the marrow. We eat only the meat from on top of the bones. However, the Chassam Sofer writes in his drush, it's a different reason why we can't break the bones. And he says that it's because bones, a skeleton, represents a person who's tired, a person who's worn out, who's in a weakened state. And Klal Yisrael, when they emerged from Mitzrayim, were just skin and bones. They were worn out. They were exhausted. But at the same time, says the Chassam Sofer, we cannot break any of the bones. Because Klal Yisrael, even though they were exhausted and they were in a weakened state, they maintained hope, ultimately, in a geula and a redemption. And a person who does break one of the bones, chayiv kares, he never would have gotten out in the first place. The only reason we got out of Mitzrayim is because Klal Yisrael maintained an unyielding belief in the redemption. Because they believed in the geula. Because even though they were exhausted, they believed in the geula. Ultimately, they saw that glimmer of hope. Ultimately, they were able to get out of Mitzrayim. And it wasn't only all of Klal Yisrael, we can say in this gathering, the Gemara Masechta Saita, that Bezchus Nasim Tzidkaniyos Nigalu Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim. It was the unyielding emuna of the women in Mitzrayim that they saw it in a positive fashion. They saw the ability for the Geula to come that energized all of Klal Yisrael. In fact, if David Feinstein writes, this is fantastic, Nashim is Gematria also, from where we began, 400. Nashim is 400. What enabled us to get through the 400 years of Golas Mitzrayim was the Amuna of the woman, and ultimately into the coming of Geula. And so too, in our Golas that we find ourselves, whatever dark periods in our own life people might be going through, the way to make it through, the only way that we can make it through, is if we have that glimmer of hope, we maintain the optimism that things will get better, in the redemption, we believe in the Geula, and Emir Tashem, if we do that, we continue to pour the Kais of Eliyahu, may we be Zayecha, to drink the cup of Eliyahu, to see Behevesi Eschem al Haaretz, not only the Vivani Bachaz the Kabbat Tafti, Yogilbi Bishua Secha, but also Ashira La Hashem, Kigomal Alai, to celebrate the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, and Hervi Amenu Amen. Amen. Good afternoon.